signal if you are set.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم تريدون أن تسألوا رسولكم كما سئل موسى من قبل ومن يتبدل الكفر بالإيمان فقد ضل سواء السبيل
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله حق قدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين أم تريدون أن تسألوا رسولكم كما سئل موسى من قبل ومن يتبدل الكفر بالإيمان فقد ضل سواء السبيل أم تريدون أن تسألوا رسولكم Is it that you intend to ask your messenger كما سئل موسى من قبل as Musa was asked before? Do you want to follow the steps of the children of Israel in relation to asking your messenger insolent questions as it was done by the children of Israel during the time of Musa, peace be upon him? This is an interrogative Quranic statement, and it is a confirmatory interrogative Quranic statement. Hence, in terms of translation, one can simply say, "Turiduna an tas'alu rasulakum." You intend to ask your messenger as Musa was asked prior to your generation, prior to the advent of the messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon you. The children of Israel asked numerous insolent questions in relation to their dealings with the messenger of Allah Musa, peace be upon you. They asked him questions which were very insolent. They did not intend to strengthen their faith by asking the questions, rather they did not intend to satisfy their doubts concerning the messengerhood of Musa, peace be upon him. Also, they didn't ask Musa such questions with a view to seeking guidance. The children of Israel asked the questions with a view to subjecting Musa, peace be upon him, to mockery, and also to question the power and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the questions the children of Israel asked Musa, peace be upon him, during his lifetime included the following questions. One, like they asked him that they wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala physically. There was a time he took a 70-man delegation of the children of Israel to Mount Sinai with a view to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what led to the worship of the calf. On reaching there, they began to hear a very strange sound. They asked Musa, peace be upon him, "Whose sound do we hear, O Musa? Resultantly, the messenger of Allah, Musa, peace be upon him, responded to them by saying, you are hearing the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of them to accept that the voice they were hearing was the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they knew actually that Musa, peace be upon him, was not going to lie to them. But in lieu of that, they said to him, "Lanu amina laka, we shall never believe you that the voice we have been hearing is the voice of Allah. Hatta nara Allah jaharatan, unless if we see Allah physically." So this is a typical example of the questions they asked Musa, peace be upon him. They wanted to see Allah physically. They didn't demand that with a view to seeking guidance. They also didn't ask the question with a view to strengthening their faith. They were not also willing to satisfy their doubts by asking the question. So during the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him, some people also began to ask the messenger of Allah some insolent questions with a view to subject him to mockery and also to question the power and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse to Muhammad, peace be upon him, with a view to reprimand those who were trying to ask the messenger of Allah some insolent questions. For instance, there were some people who asked Muhammad, peace be upon him, to make water to gush out from the earth if he was truly a messenger of Allah. And they didn't ask him to make the water to gush out of the earth so that they could strengthen their faith, so that they could satisfy their doubts concerning his messengerhood. In lieu of that, they asked him to make water to gush out of the earth because they thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent him as his messenger, didn't have that power. He thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have the power to make water to gush out of the earth. That is why they asked the messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him, to do that for them. Some of them also asked the messenger of Allah to present Allah to them, to bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before them. They said to him, if you were actually sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then bring Allah to us. We want to talk to Allah, bring him to us. Some of them even said, this book you claim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has revealed it to you. If you are truthful concerning the revelation of the book, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send an angel clutching a book to appear before us. So they asked many questions which were very disrespectful, very insolent. That was why, in order to reprimand them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this revelation of this verse before us. Abturiduna and tasalu rasulakum kama su'ila Musa min qabl.
Wa man yatabaddal al-kufra bil iman faqad dhalla sawaa'a as-sabeel.
Allah says, Father, wa man yatabaddal al-kufra bil iman, he who exchanges belief with disbelief, faqad dhalla sawaa'a as-sabeel, he has thus moved away from the right way. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that asking a messenger of his any insolent question whatsoever is an act of disbelief, because it is meant to subject the messenger to mockery. And anyone who has subjected any prophet or any messenger of Allah to mockery, such a person has now discarded their belief and embraced disbelief. And anyone who has done that has also moved away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the right way, which is the straight path. So the lesson, firstly, we can deduce from the verse is that asking unnecessary questions is something that is undesirable. One should only ask a question or questions if they want to further their guidance, or if they want to satisfy some doubts concerning an issue, or if they want to strengthen their faith, they can ask any question. But if the intention is to question the power and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then such an act of asking such a question is tantamount to the act of disbelief, and also the questioner has now moved away from the right way. Hence, their punishment, if they have not repented, is an anguish punishment in the next life. Also, we can learn from the verse that it is important for one to always be making concerted effort to remain in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the right path. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also told us one of the transgressions of the children of Israel against the messenger of Allah, Musa, peace be upon him. Lastly, I would like to say, in relation to the lessons we could deduce from the verse, that we should always do all that we can to be asking questions that will benefit us in relation to any issue. Any question that is not going to be beneficial to us, we should not ask it. Especially if it pertains to spirituality. If the question we are going to ask pertains to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should do all that we can to ensure that the question is beneficial to us spiritually. If it is intended to subject even an Islamic scholar to mockery, or to test his knowledge, or to imply that he doesn't know what he is doing, that means the intention is to subject the person to mockery. That is definitely an undesirable act. We should do all that we can to refrain from such. Now,
ود كثير من أهل الكتاب لو يردونكم من بعد إيمانكم كفارا حسدا من عند أنفسهم من بعد ما تبين لهم الحق فأبوا وصفه حتى يأتي الله بأمره إن الله على كل شيء قدير.
This verse tells us that the disbelievers, particularly who are of the people of the book, don't actually want us to remain in our chosen religion of Islam. they always do all that they can to ensure that we discard our belief and embrace their spiritual being. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَّ كَفِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهَلِ الْكِتَابِ. Many people of the extraction of the people of the book would have been glad to return you into disbelief after you have embraced belief. After you have become believers, many people of the book would have been glad to turn you into their own faith. Hasadan min indi ampusi. Pursuant to an envy from their own side. Remember the matter bayna lahum al-haq. After the truth has become manifest to them, after they knew actually that the religion you have chosen to be practicing is the right religion. But in spite of that, they would have been glad if they could turn you into disbelief after you have already embraced belief.
Fa'afu wasfahu hatta yati Allahu bi amri.
Fa'afu wasfahu hatta yati Allahu bi amri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fa'afu, forgive them. In terms of interpretation, the Quranic phrase here reads as follows, fa'afu anhum. But the phrase anhum has been deleted. So there is a grammatical deletion here in relation to the Quranic exegesis of the portion of the Quran here. Fa'afu, it means forgive them, ignore them, do not embark on unnecessary arguments with them. Also, try to keep away from indulging yourselves into acrimonious polemics with them. Wasfahu, and also overlook what they have been doing. Do not retaliate. Do not dissipate much energy or even an iota of energy in responding to them. Wasfahu hatta yati Allahu bi amri, till the period Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, will bring his command, till when the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come. Continue to tolerate them, continue to forgive them, continue to overlook their insolent activities against you. Continue to keep away from doing anything that could serve as an answer to their effort in trying to bring you back to this belief after you have already accepted the faith, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings his command. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the command eventually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a portion of the Holy Quran says, waqtulil mushrikeen. Waqtulil mushrikeen. Wage a war against the unbelievers, against the polytheists. So with that Quranic portion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repealed the Quranic ruling which says that whenever some non-Muslims try to turn you into disbelief after you have accepted belief, that you should ignore them, you should forgive them, you should overlook their activities, the ruling has been abrogated by Allah's saying in the Holy Quran, waqtul al-mushrikeen.
Inna Allah
ala kulli shay'in qadir.
Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Inna Allah, verily Allah, qadirun ala kulli shay'in, has power over everything. Ignore them, overlook what they have been doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to preserve your faith for you because He has power over everything. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Here, there is a deferment and bringing forward. Qadir is the word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared. Ala kulli shay'in, the phrase ala kulli shay'in is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought forward. So that is why when interpreting the portion here of the Holy Quran, you say in terms of interpretation, inna Allah qadirun ala kulli shay'in. But if you allow it as it is, in terms of your interpretation, it is also permissible to go ahead with that. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is powerful over everything, has power over everything, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent.
وَأَقِيمُ السَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ.
From the verse which has just been interpreted, we can learn many things, such as whenever the non-Muslims try to engage us in unnecessary arguments and acrimonious polemics, we should not oblige them. We should not dissipate any energy in responding to any of their acts or any of their sayings. Rather, we should concentrate in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should concentrate in seeking Allah's forgiveness. We should concentrate in showering encomiums on the Messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, and other recommendable acts and sayings. Also, whenever we are offended by the non-Muslims, either through their actions or inactions, or through their sayings, we should do all that we can to retaliate such or to repel such with excellent conduct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a portion of the Holy Quran, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Repel a bad conduct with an excellent one. So whenever a non-Muslim, be they the people of the book, or be they those who associate others with Allah in His divinity, whenever they offend you through their actions or words, do not retaliate. Rather, repel such with an excellent conduct. Not only the non-Muslims, even fellow Muslims, when they decide to engage you in unnecessary arguments, do not oblige them. Do all that you can to ignore them. Do not dissipate your energy by engaging in acrimonious polemics with even fellow Muslims. Your time should be for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for seeking His forgiveness, for showering encomiums on His Messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him, and also on reflection. Now,
وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ.
وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ as if we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of what to do whenever some non-Muslims or even Muslims try to engage us to embark on unnecessary arguments or acrimonious polemics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ establish the prayer. Establish the prayer. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ and pay the zakah. Give out the zakah, the religious tax.
Here,
establish the prayer. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the believers should establish the prayer. The prayer here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references are the five daily prayers. Each of the five daily prayers is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references here. You should be establishing the Zuhr prayer, that is the afternoon prayer, the Asr prayer, the Maghrib prayer, the Isha prayer, and also the Subh prayer. The five daily prayers are obligatory on all the believers. Therefore, you should do all that you can to be establishing them punctually and congregationally. Wa'atu zakah. And also pay the religious tax. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the zakah should be paid. He references those who have the wherewithal to pay such. If you are poor or a needy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reference you here. Wa'atu zakah. The zakah is one of the five pillars of Islam. It was instituted in the second year of Hijrah with a view to either alleviating or eradicating poverty. Because if poverty is not reduced to the barest minimum, the rate of crime commission will definitely increase. So in order to have a safe society, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instituted the institution of zakah with a view to alleviate poverty or even eradicate it in total. There is the zakah of currency, the currency zakat. There is also the zakat of farm produce, and there is also the zakat of domestic animals, the eight of them. He goat, she goat, he cow, she cow, he camel, she camel, the ewe and the ram. So these eight animals are the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed zakat on. Then the farm produce is also meant for zakat. But generally speaking, not all farm produce deemed to be paid zakat for in accordance with the Islamic jurisprudence. If you take the monetary zakat, whose name in some places is the zakat of currency, here in Nigeria, our currency, as you all know, is the naira. So as at this time that I am talking to you, the minimum amount of Nigerian currency one would have for them to be asked to pay the zakat is 1,877,920 naira. In other words, if any Nigerian or any person who resides in Nigeria doesn't have the amount I have mentioned, or an amount that is beyond what I have mentioned, or in other words, any person who has only an amount that is less than 1,877,920 Nigerian naira, such a person is not deemed to pay the zakat of currency. The minimum amount you are to have, I am reiterating, for you to pay the zakat of currency, as I am talking to you now, is 1,877,920 Nigerian naira. And even if you have that amount, it must spend a whole year with you. If, for instance, the amount we are to be giving to you today, it is not liable for zakat. The amount should spend a whole year before it is liable for zakat. So if the conditions are fulfilled, what you are to give from any amount that is 1,877,920 Nigerian naira, or an amount that is greater than such, the amount you are to pay for it as zakat is the 2.5% of your own currency, of your own money at that material time. So, for instance, if one possesses 40 million Nigerian naira, their zakat will be 1 million naira, because that is the 2.5% of 40 million. In other words, whatever amount you have that is liable for zakat should be divided by 40. For instance, if you have 2 million naira, you are to divide it by 40. That is your zakat. This applies to other currencies of the world. If you live in Ghana, then the amount you are to pay as zakat out of the amount in your possession which is liable for zakat is also the 2.5% of that total amount in your possession. If you have the dollar currency, or the real currency, or the pound sterling currency, or whatever currency, what you are expected to do is just to divide it by 40, then the amount you have got as your answer after the division is what you are to give out as zakat. So if you are living in a country whose currency is not naira, then you ask the Islamic scholars over there concerning the amount you are to have before you are obligated to pay the zakat of currency. The essence of the zakat principally, as I said earlier, is to alleviate poverty or even to eradicate it. Because poverty was eradicated during the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Because people who were to collect zakat were looked for. None was got. Because all the basic necessities of life were satisfied by the people of that time, courtesy of the economic policy of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. So in Nigeria of today, where we have more than 80 million people who are living below the poverty line, I would like to call on the rich people who are Muslims to do all that they can to be paying zakat appropriately so that poverty could be reduced to the barest minimum. If that is achieved, automatically the rate of insecurity and also the rate of crime commission would be drastically reduced in our beloved country, Nigeria. Also, wherever one is, they should do all that they can to call on the rich people of their beloved country to be paying zakat also appropriately so that the crime rate could be reduced and also the rate of poverty could equally be reduced, because poverty encourages the commission of crime. So the zakat institution is one of the tools we could use to alleviate poverty or even to eradicate it absolutely.
وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ. Any good deed which you have forwarded for yourself, تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ, its reward will be got by you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us that whatever good we have acted, it is going to be got by us on the day of resurrection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us, at the same time enjoins us to be committing good acts, to be doing all that we can with a view to ensuring that we perform good acts. Because whatever we perform in relation to goodness, we are definitely going to get its reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله.
إن الله بما تعملون بصير.
إن الله verily Allah بما تعملون بصير is the seer of what you are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees what you are doing. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows actually what you are doing. Therefore, if you are conducting good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Hence, the reward of your deeds will be preserved for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by His grace, you will get the reward on the day of resurrection. Wa aqimu as-salah wa atu zakah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala underscores the importance of the establishment of the 5 daily prayers. Therefore, whatever you are doing, once the call to prayer is made by the muezzin, leave it and establish the 5 daily prayers. Whenever you are holding a meeting and the time for the establishment of a particular prayer among the 5 daily prayers arrives, adjourn the meeting with a view to going to establish the prayer. If those who are attending the meeting with you are not Muslims, then you are expected to politely seek their permission to leave the meeting so that you could go and establish that prayer. So the importance of the establishment of any of the 5 daily prayers is something that is very cherishable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is something that is very beneficial, unquantifiable. Also, we can learn from the verse that if we want to eradicate poverty, or if we cannot eradicate it totally, we can alleviate it. By doing what? By paying the zakah. For instance, in Nigeria, if all the millionaires in Nigeria were to be paying the zakat appropriately, definitely the number of the poor and needy in Nigeria would be drastically reduced. By so doing, the rate of crime commission, like kidnapping, like banditry and even insurgency, would be reduced to the barest minimum. Not only zakat, not only the establishment of the five daily prayers, every good act should be conducted by you, because the reward of it will be preserved for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the day of resurrection, you will receive the reward, and subsequently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you to the paradise. Therefore, we should not be despising any good act. Any good act should be respected by us by conducting it, because we don't know which of our good deeds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept on the day of resurrection. Therefore, we should do what that we can to do everything that is good. We have to be good neighbors to our neighbors generally, for instance, be they Muslims or non-Muslims. If your neighbor happens to be a Christian, be kind to them. Be treated them with good conduct. Whenever they offend you, repel their bad act with an excellent one. If you are living in the midst of the needy and poor, and you happen to be a rich person, do all that you can to accept them via charity. You can be feeding them bi-weekly. You can also be feeding them weekly. If you have even the wherewithal, what are you going to lose if you decide to be feeding them on a daily basis? If you have the wherewithal, you can also be sponsoring the education of the children who live within your neighborhood, whose parents are economically handicapped. So all acts that are good should be performed by the believers, because they are not going to lose. Conversely, they are going to benefit from such acts on the day of resurrection. Even here in this life, if you are somebody who happens to be a good doer, the benefits of your good actions will definitely be witnessed by you here in this life and also in the next life.
وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُّهُمْ قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
وقالوا لن يدخل الجنة إلا من كان هودا أو نصارى تلك أمانيهم قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues with the enumeration of the anomalies of the people of the book who lived on this planet during the time of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the city of Medina. Allah says, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. What happened was that in the ninth year of Hijrah, the Messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, received the delegation of the Christian of Najran in the city of Medina. When the Jews of Medina knew of the arrival of the Christian delegation, they visited them. While they were discussing, the Jews of Medina said to the Christian of Najran that no one will enter paradise unless he be a Jew. Indirectly, they were telling the Christian of Najran that they were not going to enter paradise because they were not Jews. This happened in the city of Medina. Respondingly, the Christian of Najran said to the Jews that لن يدخل الجنة إلا من كان نصارى. No one will enter the paradise unless he be a Christian. Afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this revelation. He tells us here that there was a time the Christians and the Jews said that none would enter paradise unless he be a Jew or a Christian. وَقَالُ لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى.
Tilka amaniyuhum.
That saying, amaniyuhum, was their own desires. When the Jews said that none would enter the paradise unless he be a Jew, they lied, because it wasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who said such. And that was only a mere desire of theirs. In the same vein, when the Christian of Najran responded by saying that none will enter the paradise unless he be a Christian, they equally lied, because it wasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who said so. Hence, their saying was just a mere desire of theirs. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدَكُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَى. تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُهُ. That saying was their own desire. Cumulatively, the two sayings were only mere desires of theirs.
فَلَهَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
My messenger Muhammad, Ul Hatu Burhanakum, say to them, Hatu Burhanakum, produce your proof. In Kuntum Sadiqin, if you are truthful, that none will enter paradise unless he be a Jew or he be a Christian. Produce your evidence. If you are truthful, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that the messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him, should ask the Jews of the city of Medina, of the clan of Banu Nadir, Banu Qurayza, and Banu Qaynuqa. Because during the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him, there were three Jewish clans who were living in the city of Medina. Say to them, and because they were the ones who said that none would enter paradise unless he be a Jew, say to them, produce your evidence. If what you have said is true, produce your evidence. And equally say the Christians of Najran, who responded to the Jews of Medina by saying, none will enter the paradise unless he be a Christian. Equally, say to them, produce your evidence, produce your valid proof in relation to what you have said, if you are truthful. And definitely the messenger of Allah did that. He asked the Jews to produce their evidence, and they failed to produce such. He equally said to the Christians of Najran to produce their proof that only Christians would enter the paradise. They couldn't produce any evidence. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through this verse that whatever one is going to say in relation to any issue, they should make sure that they support their position with a valid proof. For instance, if you say an act is the prohibition in Islam, you have to support that assertion of yours with a valid evidence. And the valid evidence must emanate from either the Holy Quran or the tradition of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad, peace be upon him. If one couldn't find any evidence from either of the two, then one could even produce evidence from a consensus of the Islamic scholars. You cannot alone say an act is a prohibition in Islam without supporting your position with a valid proof. This could be deduced from this verse. Hatu burhanakum. Produce your evidence. Produce your evidence. So, in any human issue, any position to be taken by any human being must be supported by a valid evidence before it is to be accepted. Tilka amaniyo. That saying was their personal desire in relation to the Christian of Nigeria. That saying in relation to the Mennonite Jews, it was also their personal desire. Cumulatively, Tilka Amaniyum, those sayings were their desires. We can also deduce from here that any position, especially if it pertains a spiritual issue, should not be accepted on the basis of desire. Just because someone likes a particular position concerning any spiritual issue, their desire should not be accepted except the person has produced a valid evidence.
بل من أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن فله أجره عند ربه فله أجره عند ربه ولا كوب عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
الحمد لله. For time constraints, I think we have come to the Quranic interpretation poster for today. In other words, I think this is where we are going to stop. Inshallah, tomorrow we shall continue with the Quranic exegesis. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yet giving us another opportunity to conduct the Quranic interpretation in the English language in this month of Ramadan. We immensely thank Malam Ahmad Isa, the ordinary president and also the chief executive officer of the Barakati Family Radio and TV station, for sponsoring his Quranic interpretation in the English language in memory of his late father, Malam Isa Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our dear country, Nigeria. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in faith for the sake of His Messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وآله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه جميعا حق قدرك بقدر العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.